Take your Bible and open for a few moments to John, chapter number 3, Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Last week we looked at, in just our exhortation time, at Nicodemus, there in John 3, verses 1 to 10. And I want to look at that again, and I want to trace a little something through here, through the Gospel of John. And I want to raise the question and answer, and I think it'll be helpful and encouraging and instructive for us. Whatever happened to Nicodemus after Jesus talked to him? Whatever happened to Nicodemus? Well, notice there in John 3, verse 1, and let's just be reminded and refreshed. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Nicodemus needs to be born again. He needs to be saved. That's what Jesus is going to tell him. He's a Pharisee. He's at the top of his religion. There's about 6,000 or so of them. And not only was he a Pharisee, very religious, very fastidious, he was a ruler of the Jews, member of the Sanhedrin. So he was even higher than the normal amount of Pharisees. He was a member of the ruling body of Israel. Verse 10 says he was the teacher of Israel. So this guy's at the top of his religion, and Jesus tells him he needs to be born again, he needs to be saved. His religion's getting him nowhere. He came to Jesus by night, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these things that you do, these signs that you do, unless God's with him." I'm recognizing the obvious. You're from God. He has something on his mind. That's why he comes at night, maybe, because he wants to talk to Jesus. I think that he's worried. I think he's anxious. I think he's wondering, is what I'm doing getting me to heaven? Jesus answers him. Look at verse 3. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus says to him, you have to be born again. You need to have a birth happen to you, a second birth. And if you think about birth, the analogy, you have no control over that. You make no contribution to your birth. It just happens to you. You just show up and you start screaming. And then we change diapers and feed them, and then they just scream. That's what babies do. They don't choose when to be born. So in the same way, something's got to happen to you, Nicodemus, that you're not in charge of. That's what he's telling him. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one's born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God." He gives him a hint. This new birth has two parts to it, water and Spirit, reference to Ezekiel. You need the new covenant to happen to you. Jesus is the mediator, and he's saying you need God to give you a new heart. You need God to transform you from the inside. You need something to happen to you, Nicodemus, you're not in charge of, and it has to do with the new covenant. It has to do with being transformed from the inside out. In verse 6, Jesus tells him why it must be this way. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The flesh produces flesh. The flesh can't produce the work of the Spirit. Sinful flesh produces sinful flesh. You can't do anything to get born again. The Spirit has to do that. Don't be so surprised, verse 7, that I said this to you, that you must be born again. Then he gives him another powerful analogy. The wind, Nicodemus, blows where it wishes. You hear it sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. You can't control the wind. You can't summon the wind. You can't stop the wind. The wind does what it does. That's the Spirit of God saving people. You can't control this. You've controlled everything else your entire life, and you can't control this. That's what he's telling him. I mean, he's stripping him down bare bones here. And in verse 9, Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be? How can it be that I have nothing to do with this? I've built my whole life up in religion." Verse 10, Jesus answered, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things?" Now, Nicodemus, he disappears at verse 10. Jesus goes on to talk about belief. He goes on to talk about how the Son of Man must be lifted up. But what happens to Nicodemus? We see him here in verse 10, and he disappears with a question that he's never had before in his entire life. How can this be? What happens to him? Well, he shows back up in John 7. Go to John 7 and look at where he shows back up at here. John chapter 7. This is about 2 years later, year to 2 years later, give or take. A little time has passed. Jesus is in Galilee. The Jews want him dead. And in verse 28, it says that he's preaching. People are marveling. The Jews are looking for a way to kill him. Drop down to verse 45. The officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" Now, the officers were told by the Pharisees, who hated Jesus, to go arrest him a few days earlier. Go arrest Jesus. They're the temple police. And they don't have him. And the Pharisees say, "Why didn't you bring him?" Verse 46, the officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man. The reason we couldn't arrest him is we couldn't get past his words. His words had such power and weight, they paralyzed us. Nobody spoke like Jesus. He has total authority." They were so stunned by the power and grace of his message that they were rendered inactive. They couldn't touch him because of the authority of what he was saying. Verse 47, the Pharisees answered, "Have you also been deceived?" Ridicule. "You're duped by this charlatan. Are you kidding me? Are you deceived too?" Verse 48, "Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him?" So the answer is no. No Pharisee has believed in him. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. So Nicodemus is not believing right now because none of the Pharisees are believing in him. Verse 49, "But this crowd, they don't know the law. They are accursed." Now, Nicodemus has not become a believer at this point. Verse 50, Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and was one of them, Pharisee, he said to them, look at this, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" Now, notice Nicodemus is starting to stand up for Jesus a little bit. And he's not even a believer yet, according to the previous couple of verses. Nicodemus starts to stand up for him. There's false accusations, guys. There's a phony arrest you're trying to take. There's a lynch mob. These things are not lawful. Doesn't our law first hear a man out before we judge him? Even the Romans, gave due process. So when the entire group wants Jesus dead, and you step up to protect Jesus out of respect for the law with a strong desire to uphold the law, that's a pretty bold move. And it's a move taken in this amount of boldness by an unbeliever. This is amazing, his desire and view of the law as an unbeliever. They replied, verse 52, "Are you from Galilee too?" Notice the mocking. "Were you from Galilee as well?" They show disrespect for their most prominent teacher at this point. "Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." He stands up for Jesus, publicly making it known that he's leaning towards Jesus, and they cast scorn on him by mocking him, by rebuking him. Now, I want you to notice something. There is a clear difference here between these Pharisees and Nicodemus, who's a former Pharisee, with regard to their affections and their desire to uphold the law. Now, they're both lost. Both are unbelievers, but Nicodemus is in a different stage of light and awakening than they are. He's a lost man that's awakened with a desire to uphold the law, and they have no such desire. He's leaning on the claims of Jesus, and he has this legitimate desire to uphold the law of God as a lost man. Well, this is an illustration of the man in Romans 7. Romans 7:22 says, "I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. I'm a slave to sin, but I love the law of God." That's an awakened person. Nicodemus is in this state. He has a view of the law that's different than the other lost people, but he himself is still lost. He's a lost man in bondage to sin, but a delight in God's law. He's awakened, yet unconverted. He's a person on the pathway of light, but he's not in the light yet. He's a man that is not in the kingdom, but as Jesus referred to the scribe in Mark 12:34, "You are not far from the kingdom." You're close to the kingdom, but you're not in it. This is an awakened, lost person. There might be somebody like this here today. A person who has a desire to read theology books, a person who has a desire to speak of doctrine, but unconverted. You can have a desire in the law of God and be lost. Nicodemus is proof positive of that, but he's never been born again. But he's defending Jesus. This is amazing. One more place he shows up. Go to John 19. It's the last place in John that he shows up. John 19. In John 19, verse 38, it says, after these things, and this is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, after Jesus was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. A very courageous move by this man to step forward and desire to take the body and give a proper burial to someone who is charged with being a rival king to the emperor. I mean, it's a pretty courageous move by this man. He's kind of working out, coming out of his fear as he wants to take this body. And look in verse 39. Nicodemus also. Oh, wow, here's Nicodemus. How do we know it's the same one? Well, John says, who earlier had come to Jesus by night. It's the same one. He came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. Wow, that's a massive amount of fragrance that would be for dead bodies. This is a huge amount that would show honor to a very preeminent person. Nicodemus is doing something here that is unprecedented. This is an honorable act from Nicodemus, but it's also a very bold act from Nicodemus. It seems that he's becoming very bold in his view of Jesus, not caring what happens to him. It seems to me that what happened to Nicodemus is that the wind blew on him and he was born again. Somewhere between John 7 and John 19, he's stepping forward and he's taken the body of Jesus. And verse 40, he took the body and bound it. Can you imagine him getting that body down off the cross? And he's holding that body. And he talked to this man 3 years ago. I remember talking to him. He told me I had to be born again. And I'm going to give him a burial. And I'm going to bring these aloes and these myrrh. I'm going to give him what he deserves. This is a bold step of faith. I think he's a believer at this point. I think the wind of God blew on Nicodemus. And he was born again. Well, tradition actually tells us, and this is not the Bible, but tradition, so take it as you will. Tradition says he was the only person who stood up at Jesus' trial before Pilate and defended him. Tradition also says that he was baptized by Peter and John. Furthermore, tradition says his confession of the Lord Jesus was so bold that it led to him being deprived of his office, his position as a teacher, and all of his property and possessions were taken from him. And furthermore, he was banished from Jerusalem by the very board, the Sanhedrin, that he took leadership on. That's what tradition says about him. He was reduced to poverty, living outside the city. There's a story of his daughter, and she was so poor that she was reduced to digging in the dung pile for pieces of grain to eat, just so she could survive. And a rabbi sees her and feels compassion for her, and he asks her, "Who are you?" And she said she was the daughter of Nicodemus. And the rabbi says, "Whatever happened to your father?" And she told him, "Well, he came to be a follower of Jesus, and he was banished." And the story goes that the rabbi then refused to help her because of that. Centuries later, a church leader named Photius refers to an ancient document that states that Nicodemus was martyred in the first century for his devotion to Christ by being beaten to death by a mob. He lost everything here, but he gained everything there.
Amen.
Amazing. This is what happened to him. The wind blew and he was born again. Reminds me of Jim Elliot. He's no fool to give up that which he cannot keep in order to gain something that he can't ever lose. What about you? Have you been born again? Are you in John 7 where you have a delight in the law of God, but you're lost? That's Nicodemus. Maybe you love what you're hearing, but you're in bondage to sin. That's a person that needs to be born again. But guess what? Nicodemus it seems to me, sought the Lord with all his might, which proves that the Lord was seeking him all along, and drew him to a place where he was given a new heart and he was transformed. If you've been born again, it will completely and comprehensively change the totality of the direction of your entire life. Have you been born again? Lord, we thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for some of these stories, Lord, that know they're only tradition, Lord, but they seem to line up with what we see in John 19, that Nicodemus came forward, taking that body and giving it a proper burial. Lord, with the great amount of sacrifice he brought. Lord, I pray if there's one here, maybe that's heard, you need to be born again, and maybe, Lord, they're in the pathway of life. They've been awakened, but they can't see. Lord, I pray that today that you would transform their entire heart. Give them a new heart, Lord. Make them be born again. Cause them, Lord, to experience the new birth, I pray. Lord, thank you that I was born again. Lord, I was Nicodemus at one time wondering, how can these things be? That I have nothing to do with my salvation, Lord. I was in the same place, Lord. And Lord, you caused me to see Jesus in a way I've never saw him before. And sin, Lord, was broken over my life. Lord, I pray, Lord, for someone in bondage to sin here this morning, Lord, that you would cause them, Lord, to have freedom. That the Son would set them free and that they would be free indeed. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he's done to set free people that are enslaved to sin. Thank you for the resurrection, that he defeated death, and that he reigns here and now. It's in his name we pray. Amen.